You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Don Guerra.
And I'm Jennifer Brooks. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, August 7th, 2018.
The inventory levels in many areas across the state are at record lows or very low levels of housing inventory on the existing side and the new home side.
Demand for new homes in Indiana, coupled with the rising cost of labor and materials, is keeping more and more would-be homeowners out of the market. We'll hear from Indiana Builders Association Chris Wajda in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Perry Township Trustee Dan Combs talks about the history of more than 1,000 townships in Indiana in this week's edition of the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana. But first, your local daily headlines.
A man was killed this morning by Monroe County Sheriff's deputies. Deputies were serving a warrant to a mobile home northwest of Bloomington around 9 o'clock this morning. Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain says the deputies were requested to serve a probation violation warrant to a woman at the address.
We were already aware, or the deputies were aware, of a man that they had been searching for who had a high-level felony methamphetamine dealing warrant that they'd attempt to locate at that residence at an earlier time, and they believe he fled out the back door this morning just about 9 o'clock. Deputies positioned themselves at the rear in the woods, observing the rear of the mobile home. Deputies in marked cars pulled into the driveway and asked for people to come out. A male subject whom they were looking for on the methamphetamine warrant came out the back door with a gun in his hand.
The deputies reported that the man shouted, quote, a statement before raising his guns towards them. The deputies then shot him.
He was struck several times. Deputies rendered attempts at first aid and determined that he was going to need an ambulance. Given how potentially dangerous the immediate scene was, one of the deputies carried the man over his shoulder to a safer area for medical personnel to tend to his wounds. He was transported to IU Health Bloomington, and at some point they determined that he was deceased.
Sheriff Swain says two deputies are on paid administrative leave after the shooting, while an investigation is ongoing. Three adult women and a 16-year-old boy exited the mobile home and were escorted away from the area to be interviewed. Swain says Indiana State Police and Bloomington Police Department were requested at the Tower Road address. BPD officers with the Critical Incident Response Team then breached the mobile home to determine if anyone else was in the residence.
Situation like this, we would request, especially given what occurred, to ensure the rest of the residence is that no one else is within the residence, to use people with proper training and equipment to do that examination or to do that search.
The deployment of the Critical Incident Response Team included Bloomington Police Department's newly acquired armored vehicle. Swain says the Monroe County Sheriff's Department is keeping the deceased name private until next of kin can be notified. One of the women at the Tower Road residence was taken into custody after being served the warrant for violating her parole.
Students in the Monroe County Community School Corporation go back to school tomorrow. The 2018-2019 school year begins for many school districts across the state this week. Children attending MCCSC schools are required to receive immunizations and vaccinations. Among those are immunizations for mumps, measles and rubella, polio, hepatitis B, chickenpox, and now hepatitis A. Monroe County Health Department Administrator Penny Cottle says the Indiana State Department of Health began requiring hepatitis A vaccinations for school children in 2014.
Since 2014, most students preparing to enter fourth grade or younger have been vaccinated. So hepatitis A is now part of required immunizations. But certainly if people are sending their children back to school and they have not been vaccinated yet, they'll want to talk to their health care provider about getting that done.
Cottle says the move to vaccinate children for the disease comes in the wake of a national epidemic of hepatitis A. The disease is contracted by the ingestion of fecal material or particles. Cottle says the Monroe County Health Department recently reported a handful of hepatitis A cases in this county.
The state definition for an outbreak for all of what's been going on has changed recently, and so that meant that more counties were kind of on their list of those associated in the outbreak. So we have had some cases of hepatitis this year, and some years we have some we don't. Given the outbreak that's going on nationally and rather close to us as well, we've expected our numbers to go up. So that was not a surprise. What we're doing today is the same thing that we were doing, you know, last week before we were on that state list, and that's encouraging people to be vaccinated if they haven't been, talk to their health care provider. Again, I mentioned that school-age children since 2014 that's been part of the school vaccination program. So most of them have been vaccinated. And we've been doing some outreach clinics to high-risk populations. So we've been doing all of those things to try to cut down on the risk to the community and get more people vaccinated.
Cottle says Monroe County Public Health Department also conducts vaccination and immunization outreach to schools in the fall and spring semesters. She also encourages parents of children who are unsure whether they've been vaccinated can reach out to the Monroe County Public Health Clinic.
Parents can check their immunization records and they can check with their local provider. Monroe County Public Health Clinic does offer vaccine, and we do have immunization clinics during the year for students at the schools. And anyone interested in getting vaccinated at the public health clinic could call that number. It is 812-353-3244 for more information about appointments and their health insurance coverage or whether or not it's covered for vaccine for children, that kind of thing.
The Monroe County Community School Corporation begins the 2018-2019 school year tomorrow.
The City of Bloomington Utilities Department continues to work on removing mercury and asbestos at the decommissioned Griffey Lake Treatment Plant. Last night, the Utility Services Board approved a $187,000 amendment to its existing contract with VET Environmental Engineering. The original contract was to handle the plant's demolition. The amendment is meant to fast-track the contamination cleanup. CBU already conducted one mercury cleanup a few years back when the contaminant leaked from broken water flow meters. According to Assistant Director of Engineering Brad Schroeder, that cleanup was limited to a few select areas within the plant. Then, earlier this summer, asbestos was discovered in the floor tiles. Schroeder told Board President Julie Roberts more mercury was discovered during the asbestos removal, and the Indiana Department of Environmental Management was called in.
The traffic inside the building is pretty high, and it just got opened up, and now it's all over. And so when IDEM came in, they were actually, you know, using an air detector and just finding it in spots that we never thought. It really is pretty prolific. Very small amounts, but prolific. And so we kind of went from three really discrete locations that we cleaned to fundamentally having to look over the entire building. And maybe it isn't necessarily everywhere, but we have to look everywhere. We have to test everywhere. You have to clean everything up, trying to get to it, because it has been distributed around the building.
Was there any, like, undiscovered mercury from the original inspection?
Yeah, it's all undiscovered from the original one. So when we did the original one, we thought we had it. But we didn't have any drawings. The drawings didn't show the potential sources. You know, it didn't really show where all the meters were at. And so we did a visual, and we looked all over, and we thought we saw the meters. And to the best of our ability, without tearing up, we thought we had it.
The utilities department announced last week that a security firm has been hired to keep the public off the property. Roberts asked utilities director Vic Kelson about that effort.
So are we seeing a decrease in the number of people attempting to get in?
You know, some days it looks like that we are, and other days it doesn't. The other night they ran 12 people off the property. The night before they ran 7 off the property. I don't know how many of them have actually been inside the building. They continue to cut down the fence, and we continue to repair it. You know, even though there's a guard there, the guard walks around about every half an hour, and apparently people come sneaking in there, they'll come through the woods and cut a hole in the fence.
Roberts also asked Schroeder whether the land around the plant had been examined for mercury contamination.
Has the company gone out and, or IDEM or anybody, metered the area around the plant? And I mean, because if they're getting in and tracking it, are they tracking it outside?
I don't know if they've done that. I think it'll be part of the, we can certainly look at it, and they've certainly metered around it. It wasn't an official delineation, and it'll be part of this process to delineate the site and see where it's gone off site.
Because I'm sure that's what the neighborhood's concerned about, is if they're in there messing around, they're tracking it out on their shoes. And
yeah, and that's what IDEM is concerned, so we'll need to do that. You know, over all this is IDEM, and really even EPA is looking at us.
Kelson told the board the trespassers are primarily high schoolers and college kids.
And we don't know what the attraction is. That's the question people keep asking me, is why on earth? Anyone from the public who's watching, if you're a parent and you have kids that might go over there, ask them not to. And if you're interested in going in there, don't. It's dangerous for you, and it's dangerous for the public.
Kelson said he doesn't know how many people may have sidestepped security and slipped into the Griffey Lake treatment plant. Administrative Assistant Holly McLaughlin read the text of the warning signs that are being added to the existing no trespassing signs.
It says, City of Bloomington Utilities Warning, hazardous materials present at this site, no trespassing, persons found trespassing may be subject to arrest and decontamination procedures.
Kelson said those decontamination procedures are extensive and would be carried out by the Northern Monroe Fire Department.
What they do is they remove your clothing, all of it, and your shoes. They put those in a bag and put them in a drum inside the facility because they have to be disposed of with all the other hazardous materials. They scrub you for 15 minutes in a shower and put you in a Tyvek suit and send you on your way.
The new warning signs for the Griffey Lake Treatment Plant go up tomorrow.
In other business, the Utilities Service Board approved contract with Kreider and Kreider for a sanitary sewer at the new IU hospital site last night. IU Health is building a new health campus off State Road 46 bypass. Utilities engineer Phil Payden says the $5.3 million contract includes improvements to sewer lines serving the Cascades Park area.
It's about 16,000 feet of 12-inch force main. They're going to put a lift station in at the hospital, a generator, and then they're going to do some improvements and replacement of undersized interceptor sewer near Cascades Park to have more capacity for the additional flow that area will receive.
Payden says IU Health has committed to paying a little over $3 million toward the contract cost. He estimates the sewer line will be substantially complete by September 1st of 2019. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Don Guerra.
And I'm Jennifer Brooks. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
The price of a new home in Indiana increased by $6,000 over the past year. Despite increasing demand for new homes, the number of new homes being built fell over the past year. Between May and June, 10% fewer homes were being built. Over the past year, 8% fewer homes were under construction. Chris Washta is the CEO of the Indiana Builders Association. He says a combination of the Trump administration's tariffs on materials like timber from Canada and steel and aluminum from China have further driven up the price to build new homes. Washta says the increasing price of building materials and a construction industry still reeling from the dramatic contraction of the Great Recession means higher costs for new homes. In today's feature report, Chris Washta, CEO of the Indiana Builders Association, explains what that means for potential new home buyers.
Well, we saw a decrease in single-family permits across the state of Indiana in the month of June. We do know that we've been increasing single-family starts over the last couple of years. We're certainly not back to where we were in the early 2000s in terms of housing starts across the state, but things had been trending upward. We saw a decrease in the month of June. We're hopeful that it's a blip on the radar, but because we do know that there's still demand out there, but some issues that we're concerned about certainly relate to pricing of materials that continue to escalate, as well as shortage of labor across the state. We'll be curious to see what the July single-family starts look like across the state. We do know that there are several areas of the state that are still the market. You know, all real estate markets are local, and we do hear that in many areas of the state, the demand for new housing is still very strong. But the outlier there is the concern of rising labor prices and material prices that, you know, will continue to make the cost of a single-family new home less affordable, and that is of concern certainly not only for the association but for our members as well, because as new home buyers enter into the market, they all have a price point where they're looking for a new home, and if they can't find a new home at the price point that they can or are willing to pay, then they look elsewhere or they drop out of the market completely. We've seen the increase in the cost of lumber nationwide since the beginning of 17 has driven up the price of an average single-family home by more than $6,000. And certainly other material, you know, price increases from steel and aluminum, you know, all the various products that go into a house have seen price increases as well. All those go into play, and as well as shortage of laborers in the construction industry, which means it's just taking longer to build a home in many cases across the state because fewer and fewer subcontractors out there to perform the work. So obviously those two factors are playing into the cost of housing, but demand has been, you know, fairly strong over the last year to 2 years as we've came out of the recession. And you know, single-family housing starts went from over 30,000 a year down to under 10,000, and, you know, we're bounced back a little bit to somewhere in that 15,000 range. Is 15 to 16,000 single-family housing starts across the state of Indiana is kind of what we're projecting for 2018. So we're heading back in the right direction, but, you know, when you see a drop month to month and year over year, that always gives pause to some, and we're hopeful that it's a one-month issue, and you know, things start to rebound once we get the July numbers in. But you can't deny the fact that the increases in the price of materials and certainly the challenges that we face in the labor force are all things that will play into consumer demand moving forward. Well, what you have certainly on the new home market and the existing home market is the inventory levels in many areas across the state are at record lows or very low levels of housing inventory on the existing side and the new home side. And that is due to, you know, we've had a demand in what we've seen in folks entering the home buying process, but the choices available are maybe less today than they were several years ago, and some of that is to, as I mentioned earlier, the lack of production that we had through the downturn in the economy, and things haven't ramped up quite as quickly as maybe they have on the back end of a recovery in years past. And if you take a market, you know, certainly if you look at statewide where we were building 30,000 housing units a year, and you take out roughly two-thirds of that for several years, that's a lot of houses that aren't put into a local market. And as things start to pick back up and the demand's there, you know, certainly on the new home construction side, for example, in our association alone, we went from over 7,000 member companies to down under 3,000 member companies. And that's builders and remodelers and subcontractors to the residential construction industry. You're taking a lot of companies out of the market. And so even though demand starts to pick back up, the labor is not there to meet, you know, the demand that you can ramp up overnight necessarily. Now is still a very good time to buy a home, right? Mortgage rates, even though they have crept up a little bit recently, are still, if you look at historical numbers, still very low. And, you know, there's builders out there putting houses in the ground, and you know, we still feel that with the economy still moving forward at a strong pace, and certainly here in Indiana, our state has done some very good things to weather the downturn to a certain degree, and certainly have ramped up with a lot of new companies locating in Indiana and or expanding their operations in Indiana. So a lot of new home construction is tied to how the economy is doing locally and or statewide, and those factors are all very positive here in Indiana.
That was Indiana Builders Association CEO Chris Swajda speaking about the increasing cost to build new homes and the decline of the number of homes being built in Indiana. Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington.
Coming up next, the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana.
County's Bicentennial Committee presents the Bicentennial Journal, stories celebrating the rich history of Monroe County.
This is my Monroe County story. I'm Dan Combs, Perry Township Trustee.
And the story continues.
People are mystified about a lot of things about government. One of them is townships. What are they? Well, there are 1,006 in Indiana, and each one is different in that they have different things they operate on. However, the one thing we're consistent on is we're part of the 1785 ordinances for the Northwest Territories, where Thomas Jefferson is given credit for dividing the Northwest Territory up into townships, 6 mile by 6 mile surveyed areas that would constitute a good record-keeping method for selling the land and establishing title. Another thing that confuses people in Monroe County is the existence of seminary township. By the Northwest Ordinance, each new state had to dedicate two complete townships for sale for funding state universities and state seminaries. Perry Township was designated that township. So part of Perry Township, at least, the northern 2 miles from the northern border, that part of Perry Township was sold off to fund state institutions, Indiana University in particular. Then even further confusing is within the seminary township, there was a seminary square plat laid out, which was an acreage reserved for the university. And that's where the university was originally built in Seminary Park in Bloomington. The original surveys in 1812 and 1819 are available for research in a Monroe County Courthouse in the County Surveyor's Office. I spent years drawing plat maps for Monroe County property maps, so I'm very intimately acquainted with those survey books. There's two small tidbits of history contained within them that probably you won't find anywhere else. One is in the 1812 survey book, and it's a notation that where Grandview School used to sit, Walmart parking lot was there, and now it's Rural King. Where that Rural King building sits, the surveyors could not establish a corner because they had stumbled upon a rattlesnake den, and the population was too thick for them to get in and set the corner where it needed to go. The other item, which is of historical note, is in Clear Creek Township, west of Harrodsburg, the surveyors could not set a pin because it was in the mouth of a cave. That particular cave is known to the locals as Carmichael's Cave, and it was on the property of Hoagie Carmichael's grandparents. So those old records contain a little bit more knowledge than just distances. The first township trustee was appointed in Perry Township, 1825. The township trustee oversaw a lot of things, including roads, construction and maintenance of roads, school, education within the township, overseeing of the poor within the township, and animal kills. When wild animals would kill the livestock, the township trustee would reimburse the farm owners for those kills. And fence line disputes, which were really important considering that the land had never been surveyed prior to the surveys of that period. And by establishing the land boundary disputes, the township trustee ultimately established a lot of property corners throughout Monroe County and Perry Township in general.
Tune in next week, and the story continues.
Support for the Bicentennial Journal and WFHB comes from Monroe County and Visit Bloomington. More information about Monroe County's Bicentennial is available at monroecounty200.us.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
The Bicentennial Journal is produced by Kate Welch with help from Joyce Poling. Our engineer is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Scott Schmedke, and Danny Graff. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for Counterspin, fairness and accuracy in reporting's weekly radio show, providing a critical examination of national headlines. That's coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcast of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, it is hard.